grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
My name is Dr. Tred Risacker. I want to thank you for tuning into my show, The Secret to Health. I can be heard here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Good morning. It is good to have you joining us. I guess it's good afternoon, isn't it? Feels like morning. Let me get my wife on air here. She is back with us at Abundant Life in the studio.
Yay.
Welcome, dear. So great you. To have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
You have a lot of good information for us, don't you?
I have a lot of information.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and share.
Okay. First off, I want to say happy Mother's Day, all you wonderful mothers out there. And we welcome you to The Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McClain. It's a live one-hour program produced right here in the WC studios, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. Our church address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. And our church office phone number is 772-220-0602. And also, I just want to remind you that you can find us on the web and you can watch our Sunday service at www.abundantlifestuart.com. That's www.abundantlifestuart.com. Remember, you can hit the subscribe button to our channel at the top left of the video. And you also can be added now by a text list, and you can text ALM Stuart to 31996. That's ALM Stuart to 31996, or you can go to our website.
And all of that is good news.
Yes, that's good news.
It is good news, and it's great news to have you back, dear.
Well, thank you.
And don't run off and leave the studio. We're still trying to figure out how to get
studio.
We're trying to figure out how to get Rachel into this picture. And so once we get that figured out, we'll have a lot more listeners and watchers. I'm just sure of that. And it's good to have Josh Riley with us today. He is also part of the tech team. My son Jay is doing his job, and so thank you so much for joining us. And Bob Warner is going to join us right now at this time. Bob, why don't you just welcome our people?
We do. Good morning. Well, it's afternoon, like you say.
It is afternoon.
We're welcoming
it feels like
our listeners today. You know, this is just for a limited time that we're not going to be in downtown Stuart. And I just wanted to step in and say that during this time, we're, of course, participating in helping Americans stay safe. But we're looking forward to that time also when the city lets us come on back on town. And you might have something to say about that. But, you know, I've been thinking about the time from Passover, listeners. Between then and Pentecost. And I'm thinking about that upper room experience that they went through where they all gathered together. Thinking about the day of Pentecost wasn't so much about the room, the place where it was located, but what happened after that is that everyone went out and there were people being saved every day. So I reach out to my audience here today. Remember to talk to your neighbors in the marketplace as we go back into places of business, maybe the yard man, some of you meet at the gas station, wherever the Lord may take you. Remember to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know we'll pass that on to each other. And I'm very thankful this day, as many of us are, for our mothers. Mine went home to be with the Lord in 2007. I miss her dearly. I remember all the sacrifices, the care and protections my mother gave me. And I just salute all the mothers today, grandmothers. I salute them all and say God loves you, has a wonderful plan for the rest of your life. So here we go. We're on a race. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to the word this morning. I'm asking you to open up your understanding and your teachability and be ready to hear the word of the Lord. And I look forward to hearing from you, Pastor. Amen.
Go ahead and open us with prayer, Bob.
Lord Jesus, guide and protect us. Your word is the bread of life. Father, without it, we would be lost. So we thank you for your word. I pray for all my listeners, all the listeners out there. I pray for each and every one of them, Lord, that you would touch their lives. There are many still in a hospital or recovery and rehab. I think of a few of our brothers right now and some of the gals, too, that need a touch from the Lord. And Lord, you are a healer. I thank you for touching, healing, bringing life and restoration for those that have been sick or maybe have lost jobs. Lord, you've intervened. I know now that many are getting called back to work. We're so grateful, Lord, for the strength that you give us from day to day. We just want to spend this time, this hour today, to make sure that we tell you how much we love you and we give you all the glory. We're grateful for all that you do. Touch the listener as we proceed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bob. And again, thank you for joining us. And Rachel wanted to just talk a little bit about your mom.
Aw. Okay.
I was thinking about the three really important ladies in my life. One was my mother, of course, and my beautiful bride, and your mom.
Yes.
And Rachel's mother lived with us how many years?
Four or five years,
yes. As far as living full time.
Right.
Had come down and stayed with us over a period of maybe 20 years. And as I was thinking about your mom, there were several different things that I thought about. But one thing I thought about was how she loved to have all the kids come home.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She loved us all so much. Yeah.
I mean, we would be packed in that house. It didn't matter. There was always more than enough room at Mom's house.
And cooking. She loved to cook.
Oh, yes. Yes. She would be up before the crack of dawn, and she'd be making those biscuits.
Yes.
Rolling those biscuits. She'd be cooking the bacon. The house would smell so great. And she could have kids on the couches and on the floor and every place around the house, and she would always had room for more.
Oh, always. Always. You felt welcome, and she wanted you to come all the time.
She did. She did. And mom's home was really humble in a lot of ways. I mean, it was a very modest home.
Mm-hmm.
But you would never known that mom lacked for anything, because she absolutely enjoyed her family. And everything else was secondary.
Exactly.
They had food. They had a dry place to sleep. And everybody was always welcome. The pastor would be coming over. Neighbors would be coming over. People would be coming over to the house. And there was mom. She took care of, I guess, children at one point.
She did. A lot of children. Yes. She was working at a daycare, and the daycare closed. And the parents came to my mother and said, "We don't know what we're going to do." And there for a while, we had about 15 children.
In your house?
Yes.
And
they spent a lot of time outside because mom believed in that.
Right. And it was not a large house. So, I'm sure there were children everywhere. But another thing I remember about your mom, she loved her garden.
Yes.
And her flowers.
Flowers. Oh, yes.
All around her house, there were flowers everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, she loved the flowers, and even after mom was gone, going up there, I don't know what those big blue things were called. What were the
hydrangeas?
Hydrangeas.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful, just blooming her rose. She had a rose bush that was right outside of her window where she did the dishes in the kitchen.
That used to be my grandmother's, on my
that
dad's,
rose bush.
My dad's family. Yes.
Ah, and mom loved flowers, and she loved her home. She loved her kids. She loved her grandchildren. And I know a bunch of pictures have shown up of grandmother holding the children and I guess the great grandchildren.
Oh,
and
yes. So,
yeah.
She loved babies. Absolutely loved babies.
She did love babies.
And she had a green thumb. I've never seen anyone to just take a plant, stick it in the ground, and poof, yeah, there it would grow. It was just amazing.
It would grow. And
I did not inherit that.
And your mom was a worker.
Oh, yes.
She was.
Oh, yes. She was in her 80s, and she was still working and taking care of this elderly lady, she said. And I said, Mom, you're in your 80s. Well, that doesn't really matter. And she was so upset when they told her that they no longer needed her. She was so upset. Yeah. It was a very sad day.
Yeah, she had talked about taking care of the old people.
Yes.
And she's in her 80s. But yeah, she was upset when she wasn't able to work there anymore because she loved to work. And at our house, as she approached her latter years, as long as she could do something, she was happy.
Yes.
But when she wasn't able to help out, I mean, we had purchased these ceramic knives that were like so sharp, you know, you could shave the fur off a frog. And they were so sharp. And Mom wanted to use those knives.
Yes, she did.
And I was so concerned. And she just looked at me like, young man, I've been using knives for a long time.
This is when she was in her 90s.
Yeah, she's in her 90s.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen to me. Listen to me. She wanted to work, wanted to help out. And when she wasn't able to do that anymore, she said, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. I want to die. I want to go be with Jesus. If I can't help, let me out of here. And so I guess God heard her prayer.
He did. At 92 in 2016, she got her reward.
She did indeed.
Yes.
She did indeed. Honey, give out all that information one more time. I'm
going to
see if we can get a hold of Ruddy and let Ruddy just lead us in our offering time this morning.
Okay. Our church address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Our office phone is 772-220-0602. And you can give online on our website, there where our Sunday service is. You can watch our Sunday service at www.abundantlifestuart.com. And also you can hit the giving donate button there, and it's a secure PayPal giving website, and you can give right there online while you're watching.
And that will work just fine. And we want to thank everybody who has been giving.
Yes, thank you.
And we have received some gifts that said from like the government gift.
Yeah.
We're like extra and above.
Right.
And so we want to thank all of you who have continued to be faithful in giving. And
thank you for your notes and your cards and texts. Yeah,
and it's been great. Last week, immediately following the program, you had a phone call, Rachel, and you talked
yes.
to the lady.
A little lady from Fort Pierce.
Yeah.
She's in her 80s, and she has lived there for 60-something years, she told me. And she said that she just appreciated your messages, and she's been listening. And she also told me that she just appreciates how you take the word. You don't add anything to it. You don't take anything away from it. And you just preach the Bible. And she was just so, so appreciative. And she wanted you to know that.
So to our special friend that I haven't met.
Yes, God bless you.
Thank you for calling and letting us know that you're listening. That's a blessing. And, of course, those of you who are watching live, thank you for letting us know that you're there, and you of course can call the church phone. You gave that number out, I believe as well.
I did.
All right, I believe that Ruddy is with us now. Ruddy, we welcome you, and Jasmine, we love you. We thank God for you, and come on and share with us.
Good morning, Pastor, and the studio staff in ministry this morning, to the church in the air. To the church on the air, I greet you with the hope that soon we will meet Jesus in the air.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 16:2 states, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Praise the Lord. As we gather to worship, be it in a building settings or otherwise, we can use the opportunity to honor the Lord in giving. As we give to God, we are not paying back to God for service he would have rendered to us. However, We give in appreciation to God for who he is. We give as God prospered us. We give as God healed us. We give as God provided for us. We give as God delivered us. We give as God, and individually, you can just go on and just add to that list this morning.
Amen.
Let us just give to God out of a heart of worship. May I invite you just to bow your head with me as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, this morning, we come to you in a spirit of worship, in submission. Lord, we come to you this morning recognizing you for who you are, Lord, and for what you have been doing in our lives. And so this morning, as we lay aside to give unto you, Lord, it is in recognition of the fact that in the midst of all that is happening, Lord God, the crisis and the mayhem and the bad news and all that is taking place, Lord God, Father, we can declare, oh God, from the mountaintop this morning that you have prospered us. And so this morning we will give to you, oh God,
in a way,
Lord God, that you will be glorified. Heavenly Father, for the listeners on air, Lord God, across this airway, we ask this morning that as we prepare to give, Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that you will, Lord, just bless our giving. And Lord, you will be glorified. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. And Ruddy and Jasmine, I have been told that you all are in the process of purchasing a home. Is that correct?
Yes, Pastor.
Well, we're very excited with you. And understand that move could happen within the next few days. So to all of our family, would like to just ask you to be in prayer with Ruddy and Jasmine as they are in the process of purchasing a home that's going to be a great blessing to them. And it's just going to add a little more root to their relationship with us and with the body of Christ in this area. So, Ruddy, we love you. We thank you. And we're going to keep you and your family lifted up much in prayer over these days. And thank you for being a wonderful part of our eldership and of our body. God bless you.
We do appreciate it, Pastor. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you so much. Honey, one more time, give out that information so people who are desiring to give this morning, they could give right at this time.
Okay. You can find us on the web and watch on Sunday service at www.abundantlifestewart.com. That's www.abundantlifestewart.com. Remember to hit the subscribe box to our channel in the top left of the video. And also, you can give right there on the same website by hitting the donate button under the video, and it will take you to a secure PayPal giving site.
All right. And thank you, dear, for sharing all of that. And we're going to get right into the Word this morning. And it was so good to have Bob with us. And later this morning, we are hoping to have Joe and Alexa as well, one or both, join us toward the end of the service. Of course, this is Mother's Day. And a lot of Mother's Day, I had my mother as a part of my life. And of course, I now am married to a wonderful lady who is a wonderful mother to my two boys. And God has certainly blessed the church with some awesome mothers. I want to share scripture in reference to Mother's Day, but before I get into that, it's going to be a little different kind of a message than I've ever shared on Mother's Day. But I believe this is what the Lord put on my heart, and so I'm very happy to share these thoughts from God's Word. But first, I want to just share a little bit about my mom. My mom's name was Grace. And so when someone would say, ask if you know, around the table for lunch or dinner, if someone would say Grace, you know, I always thought about my mama, and I still do. You know, her name was Grace. And she needed a lot of it to put up with me and my brother and the three girls in the family. Now, I won't pick on you ladies too much. I have three sisters, and sometimes I have one sister that may be listening in or watching, so I better behave. But nevertheless, Mom needed a lot of grace to put up with her children. And God gave her grace, adequate grace, for the journey. I don't believe there ever was a day when Mom said, I'm sorry, that I had you as a child. I don't believe Mom ever thought that. Now, I know some mothers have had those kinds of thoughts. In fact, some have even said, you were a mistake. I'm so glad I wasn't a mistake. In fact, there are no mistakes, actually. As you know, God has made us. But to my mother, all of us were gifts from God. And she saw her calling as a mother, a homemaker, as a very significant and important part of her life every day. And I was with my mother in those last hours of her life. I remember it seemed to me as if a candle was flickering. And I just had the presence of the Lord to go to the home where she was staying and just stay with her that night. I believe that night she was going to go to be with the Lord. And I wanted to be with her. And of course, as my wife has always been, extremely supportive. And I went off down to West Palm Beach and I had my books and my computer and I just had every intention of sitting there however long it was. I wanted to be with Mom when Mom stepped in to glory and entered into the joy of the Lord. And as that candle flickered into the night hours, into the late night hours, there came a time when the flickering was further apart, and then Mom was gone. And I was glad that I was there with her at that time, because Mom was with me through many times in my life that were most difficult. My mother, she was a teacher. She believed that all of her children should know how to read and write before they ever went to school. Of course, that's before we had preschools and all of those kinds of things taking place in the community. So Mom taught us every day. We had our letters and to write and numbers to write. And then I guess around 3 years old or so, we were reading. And by the time I made it into first grade, it was rather a boring place after I'd read all the books they had in the library, because I was already reading, and for the first several months, the others were learning. But this was part of my mother's duty that she felt as a mom. She was a disciplinarian, let me tell you. Mom had an arm, it seemed to be 10 feet long. She could slap you across the neck in a heartbeat. She had fingernails. She would give you a pinch that would send you through the ceiling. She grabbed my ear a few times, and I'm sure that God must have given me a new ear, because she literally, it felt like she was twisting it right off. And then Mom would send me out to get a switch, and she would say, get a good one, son. I don't want one of those brittle ones that's going to break. Get a good one. And if it wasn't good enough, Mom would send me right back out with the snips to get another one. She did not wait to discipline. Now, if it was a serious, like a high-level offense, then it not only included her discipline, which was immediate, but it also included Dad's, which, well, that was much more ferocious. But she mentored. She cleaned. She cooked. She served. Mom, she did laugh. On occasion, Mom did not like jokes. she did not like jokes. My brother was always joking around with her, and she did not like jokes. She was more of the serious type. I saw Mom on many occasions cry. She was one who was there. She just was available. She stood next to you. And I would come in many times, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 in the morning, worked many jobs and traveled with the high school and in college, and would many times come in late. Mom was always up. Are you hungry? What would you like? For many, many years, I remember Mom being there listening to her radio, her Christian radio, and hearing the preaching and singing along with them. And she was very active, involved in evangelistic work with the family as well. Mom loved. She certainly had a big dose of forgiveness to share with everyone, and she was a woman of prayer. And right up until the very end, Mom was known as the missionary in the assisted living facility and then nursing home that she was living in. And I, on occasion, had went to see Mom, and as I would stop in, I would come to the door. If the door was ajar, I would listen, and there were occasions where I would hear Mother praying. and Mother would pray for all of us children, just as she always had. And she would call out our names, and even with dementia, Alzheimer, in the later days, when she didn't recognize me when I came in, she still prayed for me by name and prayed for all of us in the family. And I remember Mom always saying, God didn't give me any children to populate hell. God gave all of my children to me to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so that was my mom. Well, I want to just direct your attention in the scriptures this morning, first of all, to John 19. John 19. Now, this is a passage of scripture that, to me, is very significant because it speaks of the concern, the interest, the recognition, and the high priority that Jesus placed on motherhood. Listen to these words. This is from the NIV, reading beginning with verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. So you already know the context. Jesus is on the cross. He's been beaten. He had a crown of thorns crushed into his head. He's hanging on this cross. And there's only seven sayings that we have that Jesus said from the cross. But this is one of those sayings that was extremely important to him. So near the cross stood his mother. We know her name, right? It's Mary. And his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So we have at least three Marys there. We have four ladies that are standing together near the cross. Verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. Now, who was that? Well, if you remember, there was the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And there were many occasions when Jesus would slip away with just those three, Peter, James, and John. But it's not Peter, and it's not James that's referred to as the one who Jesus loved. Now, he loved all the disciples, obviously, but John, yes, it was John. John somehow had a closer, more intimate relationship with the Lord than the others. And look at the assignment that Jesus is now going to pass to John, to the one who is the most loving, the most caring, the most committed, the most connected to Jesus. To him, Jesus sees him standing nearby, and he said at this moment, first to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." He is saying, "Mary, here is John. He is now to be your son." And to the disciple, Jesus said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, from that time at the cross on, this disciple, who we know as John, took Mary, Jesus' mother, into his home. Now, some would ask the question and say, well, why would John take Mary into his home? Because she had other children. And certainly, if her husband was dead at this point, which most believe that is the case, that Mary's husband, Joseph, had died, and we don't have record or mention of that with any particular directives in the Word of God, but from the context, we can see clearly that Mary at this point is a widow. And as a widow, one who is standing there by the cross, Jesus, in these last moments, the last words he's going to say, he thinks about his mother. Now, that's amazing. That's amazing. There are some people today that will not think about their mother, that have everything they could ever ask for. I visited many people in the nursing homes over the years. And in visiting, one of the most difficult, challenging things that I have had to deal with is the broken heart of a mother whose children do not find the time or make the time, make it a priority to stop by and spend some of that time, invest some of that time with them. Now, it's not always easy, I understand. I mean, my mother in her latter years, I would go to see her and I could step out of the room and come back in and she'd say, "Oh, I'm so glad that you came to see me." She didn't remember that I'd just been there. And then she would not even know who I was. I remember taking my driver's license out and showing her my license and saying, "Mom, who is this?" And she would look at them. She would read Jonathan McLean. I said, "Mom, do you know who that is?" And she said, "Well, it sounds familiar." And I would say, "Well, Mom, I'm your son." And Mom would say, "Well, since you're my son, then I'm allowed to give you sugar. Give me a kiss." And right then, Mom would say, "The only men in my life are my boys." And so that was my mom. I understand it's not easy. But there are mothers with broken hearts today because many people do not understand the importance of honoring their parents. You know, as a young man, Dad liked that scripture. Well, there were several scriptures he liked. He liked the one about, you know, beating your children, well, whipping your children, and they won't die with rods. I'm not sure he ever used a rod. Thank God. I don't think I would have survived. But Dad used a lot of things. He believed that scripture was helpful, and he really believed that that was the way to get the hell out of one's life, is to just beat it out. That was Dad's perspective. But mother had a she had a much different perspective. And so, you know, when I would go to see Mom, I was mindful. Some would say, "Why would she doesn't even know who you are? Why would you go see her?" And I just thought, I cannot imagine not wanting to see my mom. I love my mom. My mom had loved me, prayed for me, prayed me into the kingdom in part with others. And Mom still loved, she had good taste, ice cream. She loved it. I love ice cream. So, if I have a problem with too much, Mom, you know, it might be your fault. But Mom loved ice cream. And so I would take Mom. She didn't may not have known who I was. I would take her. We would go to the ice cream shop. And there was a merry-go-round outdoors. And we would sit there together. And I'll never forget those days, many of those days, where we just had time together when I could think about all of those years that I had with Mom when Mom was so prayerful and so caring in my life. It matters. It matters. And you may be listening today and you may say, "Well, you know, my mother's, you know, she was too busy for me, so I'm too busy for her," and whatever. I don't want to stall out on this one point, but I want to just encourage you to recognize that Jesus put significance on that high calling of being a mother. And I know today many would say, you know, what is that position? You know, more important to be a career person, or many other things people could say. But certainly not. Certainly not. And one of the very last things Jesus did on the cross was to commit his mother into the personal care of John. And according to the Word of God, he took her into his home from that day forward. Now, you ladies and you moms have had a pretty tough way to go according to the Word of God. I was reading again in Genesis chapter 3, and in Genesis chapter 3, this is where the blame game started. And you know how the blame game goes, you know, well, it's Eve's fault. Blame somebody, right? Adam, you know, the tough guy there, first man that God has made, he blames his wife. And so the man said, "The woman you put here," this is Genesis 3, verse 12 and following, "the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. It's her fault." I heard one guy one time tell me, "You know, really, we probably wouldn't have any problems at all if it wasn't for women." And I knew the guy well enough to know that he could have had problems without anybody being around. But nevertheless, The woman was not the problem. The real problem was sin and the fact that Adam did not stand up. He knew what was right. He had been instructed. He was responsible. He did not respond. But you ladies have been blamed for a lot of stuff that was not even your fault. And I'm not going to say you're guiltless, because indeed the lady was involved in this situation. But, you know, the man said, the woman you gave me, God, she gave me some fruit from the tree. I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. Ah. So ladies, you've been at war with the devil since the garden. And literally, all hell has broken out against you. This enmity between you and the woman, and between your, not just the woman, but your offspring, your children, and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Well, we know that prophetically, contextually, this is looking forward to the day when the Messiah would be born. And through childbirth, obviously Jesus is God. The seed is of the Holy Spirit. But given birth by Mary of the flesh and by the Messiah, the head of the serpent was to be crushed, was crushed, is crushed. Yes, he will crush your head, the serpent, and you will strike his heel. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be to your husband, for your husband, and he will rule over you. So, ladies, since the garden, you've had to deal with great blame, great shame. But I want to remind you that God has always had greater forgiveness for you. Yes, blamed, rejected, confrontation, war, enmity, pain in childbirth, and dominated over, ruled over by the man. And yet great forgiveness would be yours. Before we get too far into the book from the garden, we find out that God has blessed and anointed you ladies in amazing ways. I'm thinking of Exodus chapter 15, verses 19 and following, where Israel, after hundreds of years in Egypt, are now free. They've crossed the sea, and Miriam begins to sing. God has put a song inside of you ladies. I'm married to a lady that always has songs inside of her. And we see this in verse 19, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophet, she's a prophetess, Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, she took a timbrel, in her hand, and all the women followed her. My wife's in the room. This is worship leading. All the ladies, the women followed her with timbrels, and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. Great worship. God has planted the seed in you ladies. A prophetess, a worshiper, a musician, a singer, dancing, But there's more. I wanted to point out in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, there's a story of a lady. These are just glimpses that I see in the Word of God of women who set the stage and set a mark for God's high calling that is on our wives, on our mothers, and on our ladies. This was in Mark 14, 3 through 9. This took place in Bethany. While Jesus is reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, you remember him, a woman came, and she came with an alabaster jar. And it wasn't just a pretty jar. It was a jar that was filled with expensive perfume made of pure nard. You remember what she did. She broke the jar, poured the perfume on Jesus' head, and then you would think everybody would say, oh, what a great thing she has just done. Oh, no, no, no. There's always somebody to rain on the parade. And some of those present were saying, including, I believe, Judas was probably the ringleader, indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? Extravagance. God has given you mothers an extravagant generosity to give, to care, to share, to be a part of the kingdom, and to bless your family. I know this. I know this. My mother, she back in those days, I believe many of the ladies, they not only could sew on a button, but they could also make dresses from scratch. And Mom, she was committed that her girls were going to have new dresses on special occasions. And all of us, she was so connected in and involved in all the details of our life. Mom would go without so that we could have. This was just my mom. This passage talks about the extravagance that God has planted by His Spirit in you ladies, and God has made you this way, where you are able to give without concern of cost, simply because God's nature of generosity is released in you. Well, she was rebuked harshly. Leave her alone, Jesus said. Jesus stood up for her. Why this waste of perfume, they were saying. It could have been sold for more than a year's wages. And they rebuked her harshly. But Jesus said, leave her alone. God loves that extravagant generosity, that act of kindness, that God gift that He's given you to have that compassion and that ability to see and to respond to people's needs and to reach out and care for them with extravagant love and extravagant gifts. In fact, Jesus would say in verse 9, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Well, there's another characteristic that we see in Luke chapter 7, and I can't read all these verses, but let me just kind of bring you into the concept of this passage. The verses are from 36 to 48, and this is just another characteristic that I see throughout the Word of God, and I see in you godly ladies and mothers. And this is a lady. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Now, this is a lady that had many sins. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life, it just tells us that, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Huh. She wiped them, his feet. She stood there behind his feet, weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Wow. There's generosity. There's an act of kindness. And there is a recognition of the Messiah, of God. This lady could see who Jesus was. I've seen this so many times. Guys, don't get too mad at me, but men, sometimes we're dumb as a rock. And our wives are the ones that have the wisdom of God to see God in many situations. And in my family, I'll tell you, many times my wife has had a word of wisdom, and I just didn't want to receive it. But it was from the Lord, a word of knowledge, so many times, just like this lady. Here she is in a Pharisee's house, a man trained to understand the scriptures. He's supposed to know who the Messiah was to be. She's in his house, and she actually knows who Jesus is, where the Pharisee missed the whole point. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. In fact, Jesus responded to this man. This man's thinking, if Jesus was really a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Hello? Which one of us are not sinners? We're all sinners. So this man must be thinking, man, I'm better than her. And here she is. She's going to do a righteous thing from her heart because she recognized the Messiah. Well, she's a sinner. Indeed, she was. She knew that. Jesus knew that. So Jesus told him a story. Remember the story? He said two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave both of the debts. Now, which one of them, Jesus is asking the Pharisee, which one of them will love him more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt. And Jesus said, hey, great, great thinking. You finally got something right. That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely right. You judge correctly. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, 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 do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. This woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head. She has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, Simon, listen, Simon. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Any shouts out there, ladies? It's okay to go, woohoo! You know, amen. Many sins, great forgiveness. Her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has her what? Her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to the lady, your sins are forgiven. Well, what do we see there? We see that many times ladies are sensitive and aware and more discerning of things spiritual, and many times come first to the Lord in a family. Not always, but many times that is the case. And to many of you who are listening today, many in our family, you know that many of you have had a quicker response in faith than the men have. Well, guys, sometimes we just don't get it, so deal with that. Right, guys? That's just the way it is sometimes. And so next I want to just talk about this whole aspect of being great mothers. It is Mother's Day, right? What do mothers do? They bring their family to Jesus. We see a picture in Mark 10, 13 through 14, where people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. Honey, do you remember in India how the mothers brought their children and wanted them prayed for? Let me turn this back on here. There we go.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And
they pushed them forward.
The yes. Mothers, they brought their children. They pushed them forward. Then they did something else. They took your hand and placed it on the head of their children.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted you to pray for their children.
Yes.
When I read this passage in Mark chapter 10 about people bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on, that's the picture I see. And I wish I had a film of what happened that night. And we were in a village. We were way out in, I guess it was bush country. I mean, there were no churches in this entire community. And we were doing an outreach. And the ladies there were so neglected because there was separation. You know, the priest in their culture did not minister to them. The ministers in the church, there was a separation between the men and the women. They sat on different sides, even in the Christian church. But when we were there together, honey, when you were there with me, they responded to you. And they wanted to be prayed for and ministered to. Great mothers bring their families to Jesus. And we see that in the Word. We see it in the church. We see grandmothers bringing your grandchildren to church. We see grandmothers and grandfathers taking care of their grandchildren. Your children may not even be living right, doing right, where they're supposed to be. But here you are as grandparents, maybe great-grandparents, loving, reaching, caring, and bringing your family to Jesus. Yes, this is part of what Mother's Day is about, is thanking God for that passionate faith that their families, that your family will be saved. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, 11 and following, Luke 7, 11 and following, we read about Jesus going to a town called Nain. Maybe you remember it. His disciples, a large crowd, went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. Now, if that was all there was to the story, then we all could just say death, separation, isolation, loss of a loved one is so painful, and move on. But this is not that kind of a story. This is a story where the dead person who's being carried out is the only son of his mother, and she is a widow. A widow, her only son, has died. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Moms, let me tell you, God understands the hurts, the hang-ups, the scars, the pain, the struggles, the difficulty, the challenges. Some of you have lost your last son, your last daughter. Some of you have lost your spouse. Some of you today are alone. But God sees you and cares, just like he did for this woman at Nain. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And I'm confident that God's heart goes out to you ladies today. Don't cry. Then he went up, touched, I guess it was those who carried the coffin. He touches the coffin they were carrying, or the buyer, they're carrying him on this mat or this platform. And the bear stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And this is one of those resurrection moments. The dead man sat up, began to talk. Jesus gave him back to his mother, and they were all filled with awe. There's another mother. See, I'm talking about these characteristics that God gives to mother. God gives grace. God gives healing. And God gives you ladies a persistent, passionate pursuit of God for your family to be saved. You godly mothers, you know what I'm talking about. You'll stay up at night. You'll be up early in the morning. You'll be praying. You'll be caring. You'll be burdened. You may have a broken heart at times. You will lift them up. But in Mark chapter 7, 25 through 30, same chapter. Well, we're in Mark 7 now. This woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit. She's demon-possessed. This mother came, fell at his feet, and the woman was a Greek. She was this Syrophoenician woman. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And first Jesus said, "The children get to eat all they want." For he told her, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. Moms, let me tell you, you grandmas, great grandmas, you're praying, you're believing God for your family to be saved. Do not give up that passionate pursuit of God. If God heard this lady when it was out of time, it was out of season, as she pleaded for the deliverance and the salvation of her daughter, how much more will God hear you as you persistently uphold your family in prayer? Well, her daughter was delivered. Could I close with a couple references that I just would never have thought of unless God had just put this on my heart? There are two prayers in the scriptures that have always sort of confounded my thinking. In other words, they have just challenged my faith. They've challenged me and challenged my lack of faith. When I've read of these two individuals, one is Moses. Exodus 32, it's following the time Moses has been on the mountain, the people have been in the valley. While Moses is getting the word of God, they are transgressing and breaking the word of God in the valley. Moses comes down from the mountain because God sends him down and finds that they're involved in this wicked, idolatrous, sexual, immoral behavior. And God is ready to destroy the whole nation. And then we hear this prayer from Moses. The next day Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin. And then listen to these words. But if not, you can say that where you are, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. Wow. Moses is saying, as an intercessor, God, don't allow destruction to come to my people. The Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now, before I address that prayer in closing, the other individual is the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, 1 through 3, Paul says, he writes these words, speak the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. He said, I speak the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. Here are two individuals. These two individuals are both men. And these two individuals are so passionate about the salvation, the deliverance of their people, that they literally say, God, blot me out of your book. And I wondered over the years as I've read this passage, is there that level of passionate prayer and pursuit for lost souls still today? Until I realized that most godly mothers that I've known have had exactly that kind of a heart. Most godly mothers, I'm talking about mothers that are sold out to God, they have exactly this same heart. I will give up. I will sacrifice. I do not need to have a thing. I want my family to be protected, to be delivered, to be healed, to be saved. to be righteous, to be used of God, to be vessels of God. On this Mother's Day, I want to commend you ladies.